Hello, hello.
All right.
We are back. How's it going, everybody? Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast number 12.
I was high, I was falutin.
That's right. Mario, how's it going?
It's going good this week. Had a good week and looking forward to this week's topic, which is
summertime beer festivals.
Summertime.
So yeah, we got Mario here, we got me, and we got Steve. He's hanging out somewhere.
How you doing, Steve?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Glad you could join us today.
Hey, happy to be here.
Yeah. We didn't give him a microphone. See, we're too ghetto to have another microphone.
Yeah, the third microphone isn't really working, so Steve's going to be out and about, hanging around, adding valuable commentary whenever possible.
He has the rickety mic.
He does.
So let's get this bad boy started.
All right. So, guys, thank you again for listening. You can find us at our website, skibumpodcast.com. Just go there. We got everything there. Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud. Hit us up on Gmail. SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com, Twitter at SkiBumPodcast. Mario, weekly flavor.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So weekly flavor this week.
What do you got this week?
This week, I drank a few things before. I had a nice...
This better be good because we're talking about summertime beer festivals. So beer is the topic of the day.
The beer is good. I actually, after work today, I had to start off with a nice Monster. So I had a gigantic, enormous Monster, so I'm a little revved up, which is good.
Is Monster making beers now?
Unfortunately, no, but when you add vodka, it's a really good drink.
Ah, I've heard about that.
So I had a little bit of that.
But Chernobyl?
Chernobyl, yes. Has Trident Titanium, what was it? So I'm drinking a little Dogfish Head Old School.
Old School, what's that about?
Old School is a barley wine style brewed with figs and dates. It tastes like a... It tastes like a double or triple IPA or something like that. It's awesome.
Figs and dates. So that's pretty much like health food.
It is healthy, yeah.
It's a healthy beer.
You know, they say, you know, a few drinks a week, you know, are healthy for you. So
especially with figs and dates in there.
Figs and dates. That doesn't even count as a beer.
Not even a beer. That's health food.
How about yourself?
I am rocking the Stone Ruination Double IPA 2.0. According to the good folks at Stone, it is a liquid poem to the glory of the hop.
Wow.
And it's pretty tasty. It comes in one of these tall 1.6 fluid ounce bottles, 8.5%. If you're into hops, it is delicious. You know, citrusy, piney, all that good stuff that you get with an IPA, especially from Stone. Those guys are awesome and always make good beers.
I like the bottle. What's that on there?
Yeah, very cool. Some, you know, they always use like the demon.
It's a crazy demon bull looking thing.
Yeah, they're always rocking the demon there, the devil guy, and yeah, it's pretty awesome. So go out, grab one, you'll love it.
All right.
So ski news this week. So you know we're doing things a little bit differently now. Now we got professional microphones, we're all fancy, and our podcast is the Highfalutin Ski Bum. So we're going to give you some ski news because there is some good ski news this week.
Every week there's ski news.
There is. And again, we're fine-tuning the formula for this podcast, so we're going to change it probably every week till we get it right, till you guys stop complaining and writing into us and bitching at us that we're doing things wrong. We're trying, man. We love you guys. We want to take your recommendations. We're going to get this right. So
I got to work on some ski news music.
Ski news music.
You know me, every section has to have a little theme music.
We like the theme music. Everyone loves the theme music. All right, so last week I said that Killington had tons of snow and that it's going to be open for a while. And lo and behold, the day after I said that, Killington called it a season.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, they put out a tweet last Wednesday, which was the day after we published the podcast, that Mother Nature giveth and she taketh away. Thanks for a great season. And they showed a picture of Superstar, which... I mean, last time I was up there, I still remember the giant pile at the top that was higher than the lift station. And now it's just a bunch of little patches of white on this giant field of green.
Well, there's a little section, it looked like, from that aerial view of you can still ski a little contiguous line.
Not this picture.
Oh.
Maybe the top part for 20 feet, but after that.
You're still skiing. You just hike up it and ski.
Yeah, is it worth it, though?
It yes. might be. Yeah,
it probably it is. Yeah. So that was the first item of news. Second one we have, this is from our friends over at Snowbrains. They had a nice report today saying that a strong El Nino is forecast for the 2015-2016 North American winter. The International Research Institute of Climate Sociology, based at Columbia University, New York, released their latest El Nino update today, and they are calling for a strong El Nino winter in 2015-2016.
So what's the difference between El Nino and La Nina?
I have no idea. But they are saying that they've only had 5 strong El Ninos on record in Northern California, and 4 out of 5 of them delivered above average precipitation in California. So that's awesome. Once El Nino cools down to a moderate or weak El Nino, Northern California's record shows about as much below average precipitation as above average precipitation. So there's a whole video in here. You guys can check it out. It'll give you a little bit more information. But it sounds like if this does happen, there's a better than average chance of Northern California getting some good snow, which they desperately need because they have a ridiculous drought, let alone having pretty lousy 4 or 5 ski seasons. They need water there. So this El Nino could be huge. So hopefully the good folks at the International Research Institute of Climate Sociology are correct in that prediction.
So I just looked it up. So El Nino is the appearance of unusually warm water in the Pacific Ocean, which I guess causes one type of climate. La Nina is periods of below average sea surface temperatures across the equatorial Pacific.
Ooh.
So it's colder, but also means little girl versus little boy. So
you would think La Nina would lead to better skiing then, right? Or to better possible snow because it's colder, right?
Problem is I don't have I'm not smart. With the ocean, you know, and the climate stuff.
We know about things, just not these kind of things.
I know, look at the weather and they say it's a powder day and I'm out.
Then we're going, yeah. All right, next, our friends at Liftopia, they posted a collection of snowfall totals for the 2014-15 season. And the East Coast was the winners this year. East Coast had a great ski season, as we know firsthand. They're saying that Mount Snow had 76 inches in February, and Jay Peak, which averages 355 for the season, actually had 373, the best tally in 4 seasons. Killington only had 197, which is surprising, and it's below their 10-year average of 250 inches, which I'm really surprised about because it seems like they just got slaughtered. And every time we were up there, I mean, they probably had a chance to blow a lot of snow this year too.
Oh, that's what she said.
Ugh, really? Really?
I had to.
Too easy.
I was holding it with the inches.
No, you get a deduction. That was too easy. You gotta work for these. This is too easy. But they're saying January and February, they had 50-plus inches a month. But they're still below their average, which I'm surprised about. Because every time, again, like I said, we were there, it seemed like there was going to be snow till 4th of July.
I think we got lucky when we went out.
We got a lot of great days, so we definitely can't complain. Boyne Mountain out in Michigan, they had 103 inches versus 180 the year before. The Rockies, you know, they were below average. Taos had a nice big dumping in February. That's when our ski club, the Hoboken Ski Club, was out there. So they lucked out the last couple of days they were there. They were trapped, right?
They had problems getting back.
That's the best kind of problem to have.
I have there's one girl that has that photo, and you know she's a little girl. It was snow. She's blasting through snow, but it's like over her head. Just about the amount of powder was great.
Wow, that's so awesome. Yeah, even Alta, they're saying, was below average, but they still managed to get 324 inches.
Wow.
Which is pretty awesome.
But we know people that cancel their trips out west to stay on the East Coast.
Yeah, because, you know, why go across the country when you have the best conditions around?
Save some money.
In your backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're saying Mammoth, too. You know, obviously, as we just mentioned before, they had a pretty light season this year. Pacific Northwest had a terrible year. Whistler, they did okay. You know, they weren't what they were usually up to, but they had cool temperatures in the high alpine environment, which allowed them to keep their resort open until this upcoming weekend, June 7th. Speaking of that, you know, we mentioned Killington closed. That was they were one of the last 4 resorts that were still open. We still have Whistler up in British Columbia, obviously, A-Basin in Colorado closing this weekend, and Timberline, Oregon, which will also close this weekend. So June 7th, that's the day that everyone's putting the season to rest, it looks like. One other story, actually it's a two-parter. There was a GoPro drone coming to a mountain near you.
Drone season.
So it looks like GoPro is starting to
It's when you got to get your toys.
Yeah, they're getting on the drone bandwagon. So they have a quadcopter that they're starting to debut at some ski areas. I'm sure this is going to be a massive problem. I'm sure they're going to be banned in just about every place. Could you imagine? I mean,
everybody's going to show up with one.
Think about the average asshole at a ski resort, and now imagine that asshole with a drone.
Well, think about how many GoPros you see on the ski slopes now. Like, you see tons of people have them.
It's got to be at least a third of people have them. Yeah.
So there's the GoPro one, then I saw one on Kickstarter, and they're trying to get one below $400, which the GoPro is like four something now. So instead of buying a GoPro, you just buy a GoPro drone that follows you around. It's crazy.
That's that that LVL one drone that you...
Yeah. It's a company called Cyphil, LVL one drone. Now, they don't need any help in Kickstarter. I don't even think they needed to do a Kickstarter because what did they raise? You looked it up.
Yeah, they're crushing it. They have 15 days to go, so they got over 2 weeks left. They were looking for a goal of $250,000. They are already at $532,000.
So they're going for $250,000, and they have a half a million.
Beyond a half. Crazy. 2 weeks to go. And the person who was the co-founder, or the person who founded this sci-fi, I think it's pronounced C-Y-P-H-Y, is the co-founder of iRobot.
Oh, wow.
Helen Greiner. So this is supposed to be the first drone for everyone. It's safe, shoots films, and snaps beautiful photos.
Maybe it could be like a robot and follow you around. Maybe that's level two.
Maybe that is level two.
See?
Yeah, so this is...
I was thinking ahead.
this is a pretty interesting... these drones are pretty awesome, but the problem is that people... it's the people who buy them and somehow have to be considerate of others that are going to cause the big problems.
Well, it's a congestion of the areas we live in, too. I mean, people are living in metropolis areas now, you know, more concentrated areas, and there's not really a lot of open spaces to have drones flying around with dogs, with cell phone. Like,
could you imagine Hunter Mountain on a Saturday in January and everyone had their drone with them?
Absolutely not.
It would be a nightmare. Imagine being on a subway.
That would be a great movie. If anybody wants to contact us about a movie idea, we have great thoughts about that.
Attack of the Drones?
Yes.
Yes.
Zombie drones.
All right, so that pretty much wraps up our ski news. So now we're going to hop into our topic.
Back to summertime beer festivals. So, Brian, what do you have?
Well, I know that we're sad that Killington was closing this past week, which means that ski season is officially over on the East Coast. You know, there are still three others open, but they're going to be closed after Sunday as well. But worry not, friends. That only means that it's shifted from ski season to almost ski season.
So what are we doing during almost ski season?
We consume fermented and carbonated alcoholic beverages, of course.
Oh, yeah. That's one of our favorite activities.
I thought that was one of our favorite ski season activities, too.
Well said, Steve.
Why, yes, it is, observant, judgmental friend. What better time to do it since there are so many great beer festivals located at some of our favorite mountains, featuring some of our favorite beers? It also provides a great opportunity to see your favorite mountain naked and see how crazy some of those double black diamond runs you did without snow. So pat yourself on the back. You're a goddamn badass. Now grab another beer and be the badass that you are.
Hell yeah. Well said, Brian.
All right. So you know what? We have a whole list here of some really great beer festivals that are happening at ski mountains all over the U.S. and Canada. So we'll just go over a list of them, and we'll highlight a few of them. We'll put a list out there on our website, skibumpodcast.com. We'll have the whole list, links to them, and you guys can check them out on your own. Go to them. Send us feedback. Let us know if some of them are good. If we're missing some on the list, also let us know that. We'll be happy to add it. And we'll keep this thing as like a living document. So, you know, we have a list of them going through into what, October?
Yeah,
so,
there's a ton of them. Like, it's not even just ski areas. It's like everywhere. So we'll talk about that. But before we start, I'd like to raise a toast to that.
Raising a toast.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of clink. Clinkies.
Ah,
yummy.
I'll toast in two.
Toast you, Steve. There you go.
All right.
All right, so we'll start out. June 13th, Sugarbush Brewgrass Festival in Sugarbush, Vermont.
Sugarbush.
June 20th through 21st, the New Jersey Beer and Food Festival in Vernon, New Jersey.
All right.
Near our local mountain, Mountain Creek.
Yes, and actually when I looked at this, I told Brian, I'm like, you know, when I moved to New Jersey, that's where I lived. I lived right up on the mountain. Used to be Great Gorge Village.
You were living in a ski in, ski out place, weren't you?
I was ski in, ski out. In New Jersey, of all places.
Yes.
So they're actually having it. So Crystal Golf Resort is beautiful, and it's been refurbished over the years. It was the old Playboy Club way back when. It was the Great Gorge Playboy Club. Mm. Back when Hugh Hefner invested, speculating that New Jersey was going to legalize gambling everywhere throughout the state. And they kind of screwed him by saying, no, we're just going to leave it to Atlantic City, which is a train wreck now, as we've said in a previous podcast.
Hugh Hefner used to doing the screwing.
Used to doing
the... Getting screwed. But on that topic, actually, they're putting two... they're trying to get in North Jersey two casino licenses, one for the Meadowlands and one for another spot.
Wow.
I just saw it today on the news. So I know we had a topic a few weeks ago talking about casinos and skiing, but there could be two additional casinos in New Jersey.
The Jimmy Hoffa Meadowlands one.
The Jimmy Hoffa Meadowlands
Giant one. Stadium, baby.
Put it in Xanadu.
So, but yeah, I thought that one was pretty cool. That's near us. We might try to get up there.
Have you been to that one before?
The Vernon one? No.
No?
No. I've been drunk in Vernon a lot, but never been to that brew festival.
That's one of the few things there is to do in Vernon.
Yeah, but Crystal Springs, they have a lot of good stuff. They got awesome restaurant, golf course.
They have four golf courses there, don't they?
Yeah, the last few years they renovated the crap out of it, and it's been really good.
They have a really nice indoor waterfall pool swimming area too. It's like a pool, but it's like more than a pool. It's awesome. They did a really nice job up there.
That's awesome.
And then next we have the New England Brewfest up in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. I think, I'm not sure what the exact town is, but it's at Loon Mountain. And one should be a pretty solid festival. And then we're hopping into July. Not a lot of 4th of July weekend. You got to do your own thing. Figure it out.
That's a cookout time.
Yeah, grilling, do your own thing.
Well, my family says cookout. Some people say barbecue.
It's regional, it's regional.
I'm a little more ethnic. I say cookout.
Technically, barbecuing requires cooking at a low temperature for a long period of time while making burgers and hot dogs. That's grilling. Not to get too technical.
It's all cookout.
You can just call it a cookout.
And some people just all barbecue.
Fire cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
We call it that. So July 11th, my birthday. Please send me gifts.
Whoa.
You can hit me up.
July 11th.
Colorado Brewers Rendezvous in Salida, Colorado.
Rendezvous.
July 30th through August 2nd, the Mammoth Festival of Beers and Bluesapalooza.
And that thing's mammoth, you said.
That one is mammoth. And living up to its name, it's going to be a mammoth festival.
It'll be a mammoth time out there,
guys. I was looking at the list of breweries. I think there's like 90 different breweries there. It's a four-day festival. I think that one allows camping. I'm looking it up right now.
Is PBR going to be represented? I'm just wondering.
Isn't that like a default? If you ain't PBR.
Peels, Schlitz.
Peels, Schlitz, all
something
the good ones.
From Milwaukee.
All the good stuff. That's where the best beers are from, right?
Exactly. I used to watch that on Laverne and Shirley.
We're going to do it our way.
Little Shamil and Schmazel.
Yeah, so the Mammoth Blues Festival, they have tons of bands there. Including Johnny Lang, Robert Cray. I mean, there's some really legit blues artists that are going to be
Robert
there.
Robert Cray or Robert Cray-Cray?
Just the Cray, single. Okay. Yeah, there's a list of breweries there that are... the Grand Tasting takes place on Saturday, August 1st.
Love when they have Grand Tasting.
There's like 90 different breweries. I mean, it's ridiculous. I haven't heard of probably 85% of these breweries.
So if you're looking at a brew festival, definitely look at the schedule, because when they have the Grand Tasting, that's when like everything that is everything is going on. They have, so they'll have everybody pouring. All the big names will be out there, and that's when you get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah, this one's pretty awesome. So I don't think they have camping there, but they have, all the resorts that you would stay at if you were skiing out there. They're all going to be there. Obviously, well, they're stable facilities, so they're obviously going to be there. They're there year-round. Nice. But a lot of great bands, a lot of good beers. The food selection looks pretty awesome, too. They have, a lot of German, kind of Oktoberfest-y foods and, barbecue, pizzas.
It's one of those things, if you get a nice day, it's so great to be out. You get a lot of sun, you hang out, you chill out with your buds, Like, you just meet up with them or go up with them. You have a lot of fun.
Yeah, this one sounds pretty awesome. So that's one of the highlights. Also, that same weekend, August 1st, Blues, Brews, and Barbecue in Snowshoe, West Virginia. Weekend after, August 8th, Burke Bike and Brew in Burke, Vermont.
Man, I'd love to do that.
That one's got it's almost like a bike tricks, or they have all kinds of little competitions that you can enter and win.
That'd be cool.
And there's a big one, Winter Park Beer Festival, Winter Park, Colorado. That's also August 8th.
Backing up to the bike and brew, do they have like a bike and puke one? Because that would probably happen too.
That's a possibility. I think all of you have the possibility of puking involved.
If you had a bike in there with the beer drinking.
Yeah, it can get messy.
It could get messy.
You got to keep it together.
You could break a toilet too. It's been known to happen.
These things have happened at beer festivals.
So I've heard.
So Winter Park, what was one of the, we were looking at that before. What was one of the funky little rules they had there?
So Winter Park was no pets. And they actually stipulated no marijuana, which is pretty interesting. It's kind of one of those things, like, you wonder, like, did we really have to stipulate it? But I guess you do, because
it is Colorado.
It's legal.
It is legal. They see, they also say no smoking, so that probably means cigarettes.
Well, anywhere in Colorado, which we find out, like, they post no smoking anywhere. And so that's why edibles have made a big, you know, amount of headway, because you could just take them anywhere and have a piece of gum or a gummy, and nobody even knows what you're doing. But the smokables are definitely, and you know, we're here in the New York metro area, and they don't allow smoking anywhere. So
yeah. Now the question is, will there be any beers brewed with marijuana? Would that be legal?
That's a good question.
You know, we really have to make one of these, like a trip out there to go to one of these festivals in Colorado to really, you know, get into the crowd, get into the mix, get the details, so we can report back to you guys. You know, be like the man on the ground. Get the real details, the real story, and get back to you on that.
I wonder if there's beer made with marijuana.
There definitely is.
I mean, there's actually online, there's recipes on how to make beer infused with marijuana.
Oh, there you go.
So there's a way to make it. I just don't know if anybody's actually producing it, like, commercially.
Maybe not commercially, but it's definitely happening. I know they have marijuana-infused beef jerky.
Medical marijuana beer. That could be an option. See.
Having trouble sleeping? Have a couple of those.
Have a few marijuana IPAs. I think you'll be out.
Oh, dude.
Triple,
like,
hopped?
It's like, oh my God, dude, I made beer, but I thought I had hops. It was actually just weed.
Marijuana topper.
Oh.
I don't know what else is topper, but like marijuana topper, I think.
Heady?
I don't even want to say it. If I can't taste
hempy
it.
Hempy topper?
If I can't. Hempy topper.
Hempy topper.
Hempy topper. The most sought after.
You know you're going to get some this summer. All right, next.
If I get some, then I'll believe it exists.
There you go. You had some this year.
I'm spoiled. If I don't have it in my hand, it doesn't exist.
There's no PBR in your hand either right now.
Doesn't
that
exist.
That exists.
I don't want it.
You already talked about it. You already talked about it.
I don't even see Hedy Topper out.
Are you saying that Heidi Klum doesn't exist because she's not right here?
Actually, I don't know if she does. I've seen pictures of her on TV, but that's about it.
We've also seen Tupac. Hologram Tupac.
It's all hologram.
It's all hologram. We're living in a simulation anyway. None of this is real.
Exactly. The Matrix.
I get, yeah. We took the red pill before we started this podcast here, so we're kind of freaking out a bit. All right. Same weekend. Oh, this is a big weekend. August 7th through August 9th. Okemo Hop in the Hills Beer and Wine Festival in Ludlow, Vermont.
Boom. Looks like good because it's near us. It sounds pretty good. Yeah. Pictures they have on their website, not compelling me to go up there. Just saying.
Yeah. It's Okemo is great. It's a little more laid back. It's a little more chill. Same weekend again, you know, August 8th through 9th, Squaw Brews Jazz and Funk Fest in Squaw Valley, California.
I would definitely go to Squaw. You
know
why?
That sounds awesome.
Funk.
Funk.
Got jazz and funk.
On a whole new level.
Oh, yeah.
Next weekend, August 15th, Edfest, Craft Beer and Music Festival in Vail, Colorado.
Boom.
A lot of these in Colorado. August 29th, Breckenridge Summer Beer Festival, Breckenridge, Colorado. And the weekend after that, this is one that is near and dear to our hearts. This is Labor Day weekend, September 5th through 6th, the Mount Snow Brewers Festival in Westover, Vermont. We've been to this one a couple times. And it's a fun beer festival. It's, you know, it's relatively small. It's tons of Vermont beers, obviously. All the, you know, the big ones are there, you know, Sam Adams and Long Trail and, you know, a lot of other, you know, Vermont beers and from all around the area. And it's a 2-day event. It's nice. What are some of your highlights, Mario, from that?
So I think we're going to have to post on the website. They have a shirt competition every year. Now, Brian made some great shirts, which he will post. I think I have my shirt here, so we could take a picture and just post it.
Yeah.
He made great shirts. It was Olympic themed because that was going on at the time.
Yeah, it was 2012. So it was the summer that the London Olympics was going on.
So it was very, like, in vogue, like the topic and everything.
I made t-shirts that looked like the almost like a bib that the runners would wear, and it said, you know, I used the same font they used for the Olympics, It said like Mount Snow Brewers Festival, and I had like a medal that I made. It was like a, you know, it looked like an Olympic medal. And the person, I took a rhythm, the rhythmic gymnastics symbol, and put like a beer. So the person looks like they're doing like a pirouette with like a glass. They're drinking, and somehow like we didn't win. And the team that won, they were like team awesome. It just said we don't get drunk, we get awesome. And I found the one of the judges that, you know, that ski season, and I asked him like, so what is the criteria to win this competition? And he's like, oh, well, it's not just the competition. It's like you gotta like dress up and stuff.
You gotta do stuff, and gotta, like, they had stuff. Hats, and they were running around. They were taking group pictures. So we didn't do that. We just had cool shirts.
It's pretty much an asshole competition. If you want to be the biggest group of assholes, that's right. How you win the competition. Not the most
it's popularity contest, just like everything else in the world. Popularity. So
it is.
You know.
Yeah. So we'll post a picture of that.
But they were good. So I want to rehash that.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that back.
There was a broken toilet incident.
There was a broken toilet incident.
There was a pass out, grab the toilet, break the toilet, pay for the toilet.
Yeah.
That whole incident. I think that was Steve that did it. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I was broken out toilet.
It was Steve or me. I don't know. We were both passed out.
Steve, we're not here to judge.
That was the fireworks going off, jumping through the fireworks. Real stupid stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Actually, remember those that group of guys we saw? They actually had they looked like suits that were made out of paper bags. And they taped them and stapled right. them. They looked awesome, but it was the funniest thing. Like,
had, yeah, they like, were like grocery bags. They made almost like suits out of.
Like,
yeah,
it was really creative. It was really cool. And they didn't even win. I was like, no. Team Awesome won. I was like, are you serious?
And Team Awesome shirts suck. They were like blue T-shirts with black lettering saying like, we don't get drunk, we get awesome.
It was very stupid.
Which is a corny, dumb, like sorority girl kind of slogan, you know?
Yeah. Very stupid.
Amateur hour shit.
Juvenile. Very. Amateur.
Yeah, I'm still. See, I was over it, and now you brought it back up, and now I'm getting all.
I love to
fired
see
up.
You get.
I'm all angry again now because of that.
Brian gets all red when he gets mad, which is awesome to see him just all mad.
Yeah.
But
nobody understands my art.
But they had a lot of cool beers, a lot of local Vermont beers.
Yeah, I said they had a craft brew selection. Section. Like, yes. The one whole section of just craft brews, and I can't even remember half of them. But they had some really great. There was one that was like a coffee porter. They had a.
We did Shed. Shed. We found Shed there.
Shed. Otter Creek is usually there.
Yeah.
Long Trail, obviously. There's a bunch of...
all the Vermont favorites, and then some the that are local ones. In New Hampshire, like all around.
Magic Hat was there. Yeah. All those. Harpoon.
Long Island Brewing was there.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Of course.
And the nice thing about that festival, so that one's kind of late in the summer, Labor Day-ish. A lot of the good pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers are coming out.
Yeah.
So if you're into those kind of beers, it's they're always fresh because it's like they're just coming out with them, and you can get a nice sneak peek at some of those great fall beers.
It was
beers.
A cool day. I think they had like a cornhole contest, and they had
they have a band usually playing.
Band that they had the big tent set up, and they had the band. Band was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun.
And the one year didn't they have like a smoked pig or something? They had a pig roast.
They had the barbecue place which we went to. Which
those pulled pork sandwiches.
So I'm Puerto Rican. They have like this. If anybody's Puerto Rican out there, you know pernil is like just seasoned flavored pork. There's no barbecue or anything like that. And it's freaking awesome. And that's what it was more like. It was just like kind of like the pork used for a Cuban,
mm-hmm.
where it's like garlicky and just awesome. Kind of like that. I'm like mouth watering now.
Yeah, me too. That sounds really good. So yeah, so that's a great beer festival. And again, if you're in the New York, New Jersey area, it's 3.5 hours. It's super easy to get up there. And
Steve has a smoker. Maybe we'll get him to smoke a thing like that.
I'll
what
be
do you
happy
think?
To smoke your meat. Just let me know.
All right, settle down.
Thanks, Steve. All right, cool. So yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. And it's Labor Day weekend, so if you don't have plans, it's awesome to go up there. Breckenridge Oktoberfest, September 11th through 13th, Breckenridge, Colorado. Same weekend, September 12th, Chili and Beer Festival in Crested Butte. That sounds really good.
Chili and beer, there might be a broken toilet there for a different reason. Could be rough.
And then here comes another highlight. September 16th through 20th, Whistler Village Beer Festival. Now this is a 5-day event. So this one is no
joke.
They
have like a set up camping village, right?
This one I think does have camping, yeah. And they have a list of, you know, they were showing the breweries they had last year. And there's a ton of them. There's probably at least 60 or 70 of them.
Their only rule is no bad attitudes. See? I like that.
I like that. Keep it real. Keep it simple. You know? And yeah, that one just seems awesome. So if anyone has gone or has a cabin they want to let us stay at to go up there and report on it, hey, please let us know. SkiBumPodcast.com.
Oh, yeah. Seems like the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory of beer festivals right there.
It does seem pretty awesome. And their website's beautiful, too. They have some really cool graphics.
It's beautiful up there. That up in Canada during the summer is gorgeous. When I lived in Buffalo, we used to go up, like, just...
You did not drive to Whistler from Buffalo.
No, no. But we used to go up north, and it was beautiful.
Yeah. So that same weekend, September 18th through 20th, Telluride Blues and Brews Festival in Telluride, Colorado.
Telluride.
A place near and dear to our hearts.
All right. The one rule on this one, when we're looking at the website, that I thought was awesome, but kind of, I don't know, just amazed me, was no Frisbee policy.
No Frisbees.
Because... I don't know what it is. Are people in a crowd trying to play Ultimate Frisbee and cranking each other in the head with Frisbee? I just want to know if that's happening.
But theirs didn't say no marijuana, did it?
I didn't hear anything about it. Yeah. But now, if you allow marijuana, I'm bringing a Frisbee. I'm just saying.
I mean, it's like the perfect stoner activity.
Exactly.
You know?
I'm having a few brews, having a little bud. I'm throwing a Frisbee around.
And that one, the one in Telluride, that one we looked up, that one does have camping. So that one, right. You can go out there for the weekend. You can, and you got to buy the tickets to get your camping pass as well. But you can make it a whole, like Coachella with beer kind of festival. Nice. Which, again, when it's June and you're planning this out, sounds like an awesome, magical camping and beer event. But in reality, it's probably going to be a lot of vomit and uncomfortableness in a tent and crying if there's ladies.
Depends on the crowd.
It depends on the crowd, yeah. And we'll go into, on one of our next segments, kind of the things to expect at a beer festival. Because, again, they all sound awesome and the pictures seem great. People having a nice little pint being like, hey, this is great. Love you guys. We're doing our beer thing. But things can kind of change a bit. So another couple more to go. So that September 24th to 26th, the Great American Beer Festival. That's in Denver, which not at a ski mountain, but that's the big one that you always hear different companies saying, oh, well, we won the best, you know, triple Bock at the
Great American Beer Festival. There's a lot of breweries around the whole area there, you know.
Well, yeah, Colorado is one of the biggest states for craft breweries. Pardon me. Again, same weekend, September 25th to 26th, Septemberfest, Mad River, Vermont. September 26th, Hops and Highland Microbrew Festival in Harbor Springs, Michigan. And that pretty much wraps up all of our events that we have listed. If you guys want to see more, we did a little research and found all these, but there's a couple websites that you can go to look for ones that are local to your area that are also not near ski mountains. Beerfestivals.org or beeradvocate.com. Just do a search on there. You can find some more. If you guys have ones you want to let us know about that we may have missed, hit us up. SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. We'll add them to our list, and we'll keep this as a living document, and you guys can always just check it out and see what's going on.
Yeah, the thing I like about Beer Advocate is they have the whole schedule listed, but then they also do review the breweries and the beers from the breweries, which is kind of cool. So you can kind of see what you're going for like before you get there.
Yeah, I always check that website out too if I'm like going to buy a beer.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's see. What did it get on Beer Advocate? It's like, ooh, 87.
Usually when I Google... It comes up. Beer Advocate is one of
first
them.
Ones,
they,
right?
Like they have such a repository of beer reviews. It's great.
Yeah, they're awesome. And you know, we do want to list also a few that we may have missed. You know, because it is June 1st. There were a few other beer festivals.
Just missed a few.
Just missed them. So this one was in January though, so we really missed this one.
January
26th and 27th, Brundage Mountain in McCall, Idaho. They had a beer and gear festival, which based on the reviews seemed pretty awesome because they had a whole bunch of ski gear and you know beers and. Kind of a good mix of both. So, April 23rd, 24th, TAP New York Craft Beer Festival at Hunter Mountain in New York. That one looked pretty cool.
Now, one of the things in New York I wanted to mention, that there's a ton of them. We just missed one that was the the New York Craft Beer Festival.
That was in the city, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was May 28th through 30th, which was Memorial Day. No, it was the weekend after Memorial Day weekend. That
last week.
South City Seaport. And you were at that one, right? Was it last year?
So I went to that last year, and I went to that 2 years before that. 2 years before that was the first year. I think that was in Brooklyn on the water. It was great. Lot of beer, a lot of breweries represented, and they had like some food trucks and stuff. It was really cool. Then they switched it over last year. It was in Lexington Armory in Midtown. And that was pretty good, too. They gave out little tiny, like, bigger than a normal shot glass. And that's what you went around and got, you know, tastings for. Unlimited tastings was great. And then they switched it this year with South Street Seaport, which great place to have something.
Good venue, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That sounds like a good time. A couple other ones we missed. May 24th at A-Basin, Festival of the Brew Pubs. May 30th, Craft Brew Races in Stowe, Vermont. And I guess that Craft Brew Races is almost like a little tour they have. So they did the one in Stowe. They have one in Boulder coming up.
Nice.
And there was one additional one. So that one's worth checking out.
Again, so we'll if you do the tour, you go to all the craft brew festivals, right?
Yeah, I guess so. That's the way to do it. You could be like a groupie for the Craft Brew Races. And another one, which I guess isn't really a beer festival. It's in Jackson Hole. It was May 27th through the 30th, the Old West days. They have a whole, I guess, going back to the old Wild West, you know, a tribute and a parade and, you know, different kind of boozy events as well. So
they have a gunfight. I want to see a gunfight.
They've got it. Like a duel, maybe?
Yeah, duel.
Take somebody out?
I don't want to see a gunfight. That's a little, you know, a little, got to call the cops and stuff, but a little duel.
Little rodeo. So that's so there's plenty of good stuff. So you guys get out there, get drink some beers, and let us know. Let us know what's good, what was good, what wasn't good, and we'll post on the website and we'll keep this going. All right.
All right. So next thing I have are international beer festivals. So I looked up top 10 European beer festivals. Now we've gone European with skiing. Why not go there with beer?
Absolutely. Hey, they invented beer, didn't they?
Exactly.
Allegedly.
So I'll start from the number 10, Karlovac Beer Festival.
Casey Kasem here?
I got to start with
it. The top 10 international beer festivals.
So here we have number 10.
Coming in at number 10.
From Croatia, the Karlovac Beer Festival. It looks pretty funny on the internet. We'll put the link on the web, but they have girls dressed up in the Karlovac like beer can things and jump like dancing. It's pretty cool. Then they have Germany, the Cannstatter Volkfest. So this is another just German beer festival, which looks pretty awesome. They have the big, the picture has the, you know, kegs coming in with all the flowers and stuff. Really cool stuff. Mondial de la Bière, Strasbourg, France. I can't even represent this one. It's France.
Bleu.
Belgian Beer Weekend, Brussels. Brussels, I heard, is a pretty baller town. So they have 50 breweries participating. And they have the best selection of hops-based triples, which sounds pretty
nice.
Awesome.
That sounds really good.
Then they have number 6 in Edinburgh, Scotland, Scottish Real Ale Festival.
Was that a Scottish accent?
No, it was. they said 150 of the finest cask-conditioned ales. So... that looks pretty cool. This one looks pretty awesome. Olympia London, the Great British Beer Festival. Now, they're talking about 800 different real ales and ciders and over 200 foreign beers.
Wow.
So we're talking about 1,000 beers over a few days. It sounds pretty crazy.
It said 50,000 people will be in the crowd for this.
Yeah, so they're saying early August.
Wow, that would be an awesome time.
Then we have late October in Amsterdam, the Pint Buck Beer Festival. So I can imagine there's a lot of crazy stuff going. It's Amsterdam. There's a lot on the table there.
A little coffee shop action there.
You might see a little sex show, my little weed shop, and a little beer. I'm just saying.
All alleged.
I'm part Dutch, so I can say that. So. then we have late May to early June in Prague.
That's right now.
Beautiful Women in Prague.
Late May, early June is right now, sir.
I may jump on a plane tomorrow.
Did you get your Mega Millions tickets for tonight?
I did. Once I check my Mega Millions tickets tomorrow morning, be on a plane, Prague, I'll call you. Brian, come to Prague.
Yes. It's a 17-day festival. Wow.
With Prague supposed to have some pretty hot women.
Czech beers are legit.
Yeah, Czech beers are.
Really good.
This is a 17-day festival. You're talking about bring a spare liver, like pack another liver. But you're in Prague, so you might be able to buy another liver. And get a transplant. So,
this is
just
true.
Saying.
Well, you're near Bratislava, right?
So Bratislava.
Bratislava.
Yes. Anybody that's seen Eurotrip, Bratislava. There is a real Bratislava.
There sure is.
Messed up. So, okay, we're at the number 2 now on your list.
Coming in at number 2.
Austria, Altlasser Bierzelt. Bierzelt.
Oh, boy.
I can't pronounce anything.
Altasia.
This is a smaller three-day festival. Looks pretty cool. This almost looks like, in Germany, the summer Carva, where the, you know, little local carnival.
Yeah, it sounds like this is almost like a little, like a, an elitist Oktoberfest.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We would be there because we're...
And it is in an alpine village.
Yeah, see? Oof,
that sounds really nice.
That's cool.
Like, imagine like an Ischgl, like a little beer festival in Ischgl. That,
they have to have something. That but it's not be listed awesome. Because we can't get invited. It's got to be invite only.
Expect plenty of dirndl-clad locals and oompa-pa bands waiting to get their party started.
I bet you Peter Vockel will be there.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Scheiß drauf.
And then the number one, which everybody knows, this is kind of, everybody knows which one this is.
Yep.
It's Germany, the Oktoberfest in Munich. Mm-hmm. And which would be great is to test drive cars and then drink.
Ah, yes.
Right? Test drive some BMWs, maybe some Mercedes, maybe, you know.
Some Porsches.
Hell yeah.
There,
it's
yeah.
on the table. So they're saying September 17th through October 3rd. Now, I know it was mid-September. I don't know if those are the exact dates, but I don't know if they keep to the exact dates or whatever, but they're saying September 17th through October 3rd is the official dates.
Schweinehaxen, bratwurst, potato pancakes, beer.
Yep. Sounds... They had their 200th anniversary, I believe, 2 years ago. Is easier 1 year or 2 years ago?
Pretty recently, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. A friend of mine went last year with a buddy or two, and he said it was the best week of his life.
Yeah.
He said it was absolutely unbelievable.
I heard expect a lot of crowds. I know my ex-in-laws went. They said it was raining. It was kind of rough, but just got to be used to crowds and pushing. If you're used to skiing in Europe, you're used to people pushing.
If you're used to skiing in Europe and a subway in New York,
exactly.
You'll be fine.
You could just box out. Make sure you box out. So that's the top 10 list there. And then, you know, we have a lot of things to talk about at a beer festival. So
yeah, one of the things you're gonna encounter is, you know, this is think about your typical bar and what things are like around 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Things can get a little messy, a little hairy.
Almost closing time.
And, you know, the beer festivals, when they start out, the first hour of the beer festival is usually the best. You know, they're usually run about 4 to 5 hours a day, you know, 12 to 5, 2 to 6, something like that, which is good. The first hour is the best because the beer is fresh. You can pretty much get...
People are fresh.
People are not fresh yet.
Not fresh yet.
They, you know, all the breweries still have all their best stuff, so you can get exactly what you want, get the good stuff. The problem is, as things get on later in the day, people tend to go hard, you know? And again, we're not saying we're exempt from this behavior. We've all had rough days. We've all gone too far. But just to be mindful, there's a few beer festival warnings for you. Number one, the best beers will run out. So hit them first while your palate is fresh. Number two, food is of utmost importance.
Yes.
Have some.
You got to make sure you plan that because usually you're doing other stuff and then you go to the beer festival. Like, you got to plan, like, scope them out when you first get there, like where the good vendors are and stuff.
Yeah.
It's important.
And you know, each beer festival varies. Some of them don't allow you to bring food with you. Most of them have vendors, but some of them allow you to bring, like, you know, people will put those little mini pretzels on a necklace so you can kind of munch those off. That's huge, but make sure you eat something.
Because, like, fish food, like, as you walk around, you just grab it and you start eating it.
Pretty much. And you know what? If you're a single person and you wear those, it's a great introduction to the sexual conquest of choice. To kind of walk up to them and be like, hey, you doing a pretzel? And they can, like, munch it off your chest. And you're like, oh, well, that's awesome. You know, what's your name?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great intro.
It's like food body shots.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great opening line, too. So think about that. And then number two, water is also of the utmost importance, especially in the summertime. You know, make sure you get in there and make sure you're drinking water. Stay hydrated. If you can, bring a Camelback or something like that. Some places, we were looking at the rules before, some places do explicitly ban them. But look it up. Find out what you can do, what you can bring, what you can't. But stay hydrated. Super important.
So my plan is when I go in, always suntan lotion. Always bring a bottle of water if you can, or get a bottle of water right when you get there.
Yeah.
Get a beer and then look at where you're going to eat.
That's a game plan.
Scope it out.
That's the way to do it. Remember, the potential for shitshonery is very high. You have a lot of people, all different age groups, all different mindsets. People will get hammered. Be a little chill. Be friendly. You know, realize that people probably aren't intending to be assholes, but you know, just be chill. It's super important.
Now, we've seen it at beer festivals, and we've seen it at Après Ski. Anytime you get, like, a dedicated amount of people going for at least an hour to 2 hours of drinking hard, you're going to get, like, at the end of that, it's all shit chonery.
It gets bad. Yeah. Yeah, it gets really bad.
It gets bad real fast, too. Like, all of a sudden, it, like, turns and, like, shit gets real.
Yeah. So, you know, really for yourself, have a plan. You know, don't overdo it. You will pay the price one way or another. I mean, you never know. If, say, you go in, you're like, I'm going to have four beers. You know, I'm not driving. Have my four beers. You buy your four tokens. You're good to go. You're not going to buy any more. You're not going to take any more from any of your friends. Have that plan. Know what you're capable of. Because, you know, you want to be a level-headed guy. You don't want to be the guy who gets into the fight, you know, who gets too hammered and thrown out. Like, there's a lot of problematic things that could happen.
Never, ever fight.
Yeah, you don't want to be part of that. You know, nobody wins with that. Just go and have a good time.
Check the ego at the door. You got to do that.
Yes. And lastly, most importantly, don't drive. You know, or have a designated driver. You know, make sure you have that. That's super important.
So other options Brian and I were talking about just a little bit ago. So definitely Uber. Everybody knows Uber. Good old-fashioned taxi. And then there's a new app, which is kind of like Uber with a little twist. It's called Steer Clear. This is where they show up with two people. You call them. They show up with two people just like Uber. And one person drives you home, and the other person drives your car home. So it's awesome because you can be passed out the next day and wake up, your car's there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Those are great services. I guess the one thing to be mindful of is a lot of these are taking place at ski mountains in the middle of nowhere, and those services might not be there. So, you know, yeah. Hopefully you're staying at a hotel or a condo somewhere near the event so you can have – there's a shuttle service, or you can walk, or, you know, there's an easy way to get back home.
Yeah, if it's somewhere remote or you've never been there, definitely make arrangements before you go, because – making them at the last minute is really not a good plan.
Because everyone's doing the same thing at the same time. And again, shitshonery. That will be the that will be it. And it'll ruin your time. It really will. I mean, you can have a great time the first 2 hours. And then, you know, things get messy at the end. And it just ruins the whole experience. So go there. Have a good time. Have a plan. Be chill. And you'll make it out alive. And you'll be looking forward to the next event. So
definitely.
Those are our tips. If you got any more, again, hit us up, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, and let us know, and we'll post those too.
All right. So now it's time for...
Wrap it up around the horn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so around the horn, what do you got, Brian? Let's start
with
you.
What do I got? Ooh, lucky me. I thought you were going to go first. So I'm not even prepared. But you know what? I'm a professional. I'll win
this.
I can
jump in there. You
no, did? So we got this. So I was looking... I got an email this past week from our friends at backcountry.com. And they had this, it was like a Burton bag email, you know, I don't know, Burton in summertime. What do you think of Burton? You think of snowboarding, you think of, you know, boards and gear. But they had a thing, you know, different bags and whatnot from Burton. And I clicked on it, and they have this one item called the Barracuda, which is I'm trying to describe it. It's a sling that holds a six-pack of beer. So it looks like a tube. It's an insulated tube, and you can drop your beers in so they're stacked up on each other. And you wear it. It's got a strap, so you wear it as a sling around your neck. And you got six beers. They stay cool. You can wear it underneath your jacket when you're skiing. If you're going camping or hiking, sounds you can awesome. Wear it. Oh, it's so cool. And there's 19 reviews on Backcountry site, 5 stars. I think one person gave a 4-star, and it was for some dumb reason. But it looks like a fantastic piece of kit that you might want to have. So I'll make sure I post it on the show notes so you guys can hit it up and grab one of these. Because it also has on the strap a koozie. So you've got your, I guess, 5 of them in the sleeve, like the actual bag part, and then one in your koozie by your chest. So you're good to go.
That's awesome.
Really cool.
And we were talking before, like golfing, you definitely need some beers.
Yes, golf is a long, slow game.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy golf once in a while, but yeah, definitely need a few beers.
I was talking to my my wife's uncle 2 weeks ago up on Memorial Day, and he went golfing, and he was saying there was people that were like super slow in front of them. He said it took him 6.5 hours to play 18 holes.
Wow. I'm like, there's no way.
Oh, my God. My ADD would kick in after, like, the third hole.
No, I'd have drank the beers in my sleeve and just, like, started cursing at him or something.
Oh,
it would have been bad.
It'd be messy.
It would have been...
You don't want that.
No. So one of the things I want to talk about. So National Donut Day with Rogue.
Ooh.
Rogue, they make...
What's Rogue? That's
Rogue IPA. Rogue
brewery up there in Portland, maybe?
Rogue Portland, yes.
Not the X-Men woman?
Yeah. So the thing I like about Rogue is they come out with that special donut beer every year.
Oh, the Voodoo Donut, right?
Voodoo Donut.
Yes.
I think they do it once or twice a year. I gotta look up how many times they release it, but it's definitely like a seasonal. I think they do two a year.
And they change the formula every year, right? Like there's different recipes they use?
Yeah, so they...
Because we had one a couple years ago.
The pink bottle.
Which was the, wasn't it like maple bacon?
It was the maple bacon.
That one was awesome.
So now National Donut Day with Rogue, they're going to have it here in the city this Friday, which I may try to get down there, videotape, take pictures, whatever I'm going to do, and definitely drink the beer and eat the donuts. But they're going to be making fresh donuts, frying up fresh donuts. They're going to have the bacon maple ale,
ooh,
which is the one that we had, chocolate peanut butter banana ale.
That one I had, and it was not that good.
Yeah. The lemon chiffon cruller.
I'm sure
ale.
They changed the formula this year and it's awesome, but
Lemon chiffon cruller. That sounds pretty good, right?
It's like a shandy then, right?
Yeah, like a donut
like
shandy.
Like a greasy shandy.
A greasy donut shandy.
Mm.
Mm. Pretzel raspberry chocolate ale. That sounds kind of good,
that
right?
That could work.
And just other stuff. So it looks really cool. They're going to have it at this place called the Stag's Head, New York. I've never been there. I've heard a lot about it, though.
Where is that?
51st on the east side.
Okay.
I think 51st and 2nd.
Nice.
So, yeah. So that's definitely look for little nuggets like that in your local area because they're all around. I know, you know, I follow Dogfish Head. Kind of, I look on their website kind of regular. They do the, what's the radio, the record store day. They do a bunch of other days that they sponsor all around the nation, and they'll go out and they'll bring their beers, like some of the, you know, hard to find beers, the Dogfish 120, they'll bring them out there. There's always bar takeovers. So I know, Stone does a lot of bar takeovers here in this local area, Cloverleaf. They're having one. So one of the local breweries that I just visited that just started, Magnify Brewing Company, and they're in Fairford, New Jersey. They had their opening day was last Friday. So I went there. I spoke to Ian, one of the founders of the brewery. Really nice. I'm sorry, Eric, one of the founders of the brewery. Really nice guy. And I tell you, it was a really good setup. Like I've been to a few breweries that have just started out. Definitely in Tampa when I've been down there, and up here, you know, there's a few, and it was really a really cool vibe, really good beer, and it was good to see. We're going to be there next Friday. We're going to go out, me, Brian, and another buddy of ours. We're just going to check it out, see how it goes. But
yeah, so if you're in the Northern Jersey area and you wanna bum it up with us, come to the Magnify Brewing Company.
Bum it up.
Is it June 13th, right? Probably a 5:30 p.m.?
Yes.
We'll post it on Twitter and Facebook, and you can come see us, hang out with us, buy us beers. It'll be lovely.
And they're actually doing a bar takeover tomorrow at...
Which is Wednesday, June 3rd.
Yes, at the Cloverleaf. So they're actually...
And that's in where? Caldwell?
That's West Caldwell or Caldwell? I think it's...
One of the Caldwells.
I think it's West Caldwell. They are in... Caldwell,
New Jersey. Okay.
Yeah. But Cloverleaf is solid. They got a lot of good beers. If you're going to have a good bar takeover, that's a place to go.
That's a great spot, yeah.
But yeah, so I'm excited. I'm actually going to try to see if I can stop by there tomorrow, and then we're going to go there next week. And then we're going to talk to Eric about, you know, maybe talking about the brewery on another episode, maybe do an interview, maybe just talk about some other, because there's some other ones around here, like there's Ramstein Brewery around here.
Cricket Hill.
Right up the road. Cricket Hill, yeah. So there's a lot of cool little things popping up. And there's some spirits places popping up too.
Yeah. Nice. So the next one that I've got is, you know, Amazon just recently announced they now have Amazon Prime same day delivery, which is in 14 different metro areas. So being in the New York City area, we are lucky enough to get that service, which is pretty sweet. And I'm looking at it. It's funny. One of the pictures they have here, it says what you need, what you want, and everything else. So they're making, and the picture has a French press, headphones, shaving cream, a record, and a chainsaw. So does that mean I can get a chainsaw same day delivery service from Amazon Prime?
Or are they going to give you a shave with a chainsaw? I don't know.
Are they going to shave you with a chainsaw while making you coffee in a French press as you're listening to a record through your headphones?
There you go.
I guess that's what's happening.
Now, they call it Amazon Prime still, or are they going to call it Amazon Prime Time or something?
Prime Time. They're saying Amazon Prime same day. And I've noticed, you know, I typed in Red Bull Cola, which is one of the things that I had when we were in Ishkill, and I loved. They don't seem to sell it here in the States. But one of the things that did come up is this pussy natural energy drink. And
it's natural, so it's got to be good.
But you know what? It is Prime, one day available. And there's the description that it says. It says, pussy natural energy drink with its fruit flavor provides a natural energy boost from the unique mix of natural ingredients. Imported from the UK, pussy is fresh, clean, and highly enjoyable, like only pussy can be.
Wow.
That is their actual product description on Amazon.
It's like Idiocracy, pussy. It's what you need.
It's what it's got what plants crave. So Amazon Prime, think of all the crazy, awesome stuff you can now get same day delivered to you.
Amazon Prime time.
Pussy Prime.
Pussy Prime time.
Mario.
All right, so I came across a little thing. So I love Vice, and I was on the Vice site, and they actually had something that just like I was like, I got to share this. So they came out with Google is trying to count the number of calories in your Instagram pics. So they're developing software just kind of like facial recognition where it'll recognize what food you've taken a picture of and try to estimate how many calories you've taken a picture of. So the funny thing for me is I have some friends that take pictures of like, they go out to a restaurant, they take a picture, they go eat something really good, they take a picture. Now I could actually respond back to them like, man, that's like 12,000 calories.
So how is that even possible?
I guess, you know, they do facial recognition. So if they can recognize that it's like pancakes you're taking a picture of and eggs, they could say, okay, that's, you know, X amount of calories average. You know, it'll probably be within a range.
But what if, you know how, you know, if I've done some research on, you know, people doing photo shoots for ice cream. You know, they usually use mashed potatoes. Like there's different substitutes that they use that make it look better in the photo. So how would they be able to know if it was mashed potatoes or ice cream in that picture?
They probably wouldn't know. They'd probably have to go by the general, but I don't know. Maybe
is there like a heat map almost? Like they can like, you know, dive into the pixels and see like fat modules, fat molecules in there and like weigh that out?
I don't know. It's got to be like, so facial recognition, they look at just the shape of the face to try to match it to something. So when they talk about all these algorithms and programs that run through, they actually run through algorithms to try to weed out and get closer to the target of what they're going to match it to.
Right.
So the matching algorithms like go through. So obviously they're going to match it to, if it looks like, if it's mashed potatoes, it looks like ice cream. I'm sure they're going to say, oh, it's ice cream, you know, and your mashed potatoes now are going to be, because there's probably butter in it anyway. So they'll get you just like that.
Get that cream, son.
That's right. Yeah. There's cream and butter in there. It's, you know, 12,000 calories just the same.
Yep. All right, cool. You got anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right, I guess one last little quick hit. Stanley Cup Finals are starting tomorrow. Tampa Bay, Chicago.
Boom.
Mario, I know you're psyched. You're a Tampa Bay fan.
I've become a Tampa Bay fan. My family lives down there, so why not, right? So, but I still like Chicago.
Yeah, they're a solid team. Chicago looked awesome in Game 7. Jonathan Toews is a freak. He's unstoppable right now in the playoffs. And
I think they're two great teams. I like to – it's going to hopefully be a good matchup.
It'll be fun. Just being the – I guess you're not really racist. What would it be? Geographist. I can't root for teams from the South, so I got to root for Chicago because they're
Why
northern.
You got something against the South?
I just – because I like the cold weather.
You're just a Yankee, aren't
Tampa
you?
Tampa Bay. I
you
mean,
damn Yankee.
Why does Tampa Bay have a team? I mean
– they're all transplants. Everybody in Tampa is like a transplant.
It's like 97 degrees, and they're playing ice hockey down there.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous. Root for Chicago.
Hey, Dubai has the World Cup, right?
And there was nothing illegitimate that we found out about how they got the World Cup, right? There was
I'm sorry, not Dubai. Qatar has the World Cup.
It's pronounced Qatar.
Qatar. Has the World Cup, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing, you know, 120 degrees. Why not play soccer?
It's nothing. You're only running 12 miles a game.
Might as well have the Stanley Cup there. Boom.
Right in the middle of the ocean. Right in the Persian Gulf.
Exactly.
You know, we'll have it right there.
Winter Olympics right there.
Perfect.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right. So this I think that pretty much wraps up the podcast, huh? Number 12 in the books.
Number 12 in the books. So Only thing I have to say left is stay high on life and stay flutin'.
There you go. Hit us up, skibumpodcast.com, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, Twitter at skibumpodcast. So thank you guys again for listening.
Bye, guys. Oh, yeah. So you guys, thanks for being listening to the podcast.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. You're awesome as always. And you guys, you are awesome for listening. So thank you so much. And we will talk to you guys next week.
See ya.
Peace.